Sounds like about everybody's found it. He says, if you would go with me down to verse 6 through 8. In verse 6, he says, the voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass wither, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. And stop reading there with that eighth verse and taking our thought there about the word of God standing forever. That Isaiah, the major prophet, is giving us an example of God's work and how his word is true. Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. What God has spoken, we will stand in judgment for. Individually and collectively, we will stand in judgment for what God has spoken. And I'm not talking about when we get to heaven. I'm talking about in this life. We will stand in judgment. The Bible teaches us that judgment begins at the house of the Lord, where his word is declared. And where his word is not declared, there is no judgment. Here he said that he told the prophet to cry, in other words, to speak unto them. And he said, but what shall I speak? And he was reminding us that all flesh is grass. We're just like the grass of the field that just a few months ago, and maybe even still, or not just a few months ago, but a few weeks ago, was green and growing. The frost comes along and cuts it all down. We need to be reminded sometimes that we're not here forever. As Abram of old said, we're just pilgrims and strangers in a strange land, seeking a city whose builder and maker is God. To be reminded that we're all going to be cut down, that we don't have long. Even if we live to be 100 years old, as Brother Clarence says he's going to do, even if we live to be 100, that's just a small time compared to eternity. A small time. And if you've ever noticed, flowers right before their time expires is when they are the most beautiful. And I think that that gives us a picture of people as well. And you say, but we were younger and maybe more vibrant, and look how we've changed over the years. But I declare some of the most beautiful people I know was right when they was about to take their last breath on this earth and move on home to be with the Lord. Here he reminds us tonight, church, that we're only blooming for a short time. And the one preacher said many years ago that we ought to bloom where we're planted. God has put us in this place for this time, and we ought to enjoy it while we're here. But he reminds us tonight at the end of that, that all the flowers and the grass is going to wither, and the flowers are going to fade, but the word of God shall stand forever. Our time and everything in this world, Brother Jack, is based upon a time limit. From the moment we was born, there was a limit set on the days that we would be upon this earth. And even though the Bible teaches us that we can add to our days, but we can also take away from our days by the way that we live. How do I add more days to my life? By being good? No. By living by God's word. How can I take away days from my life? By being rebel, by being riotous, by being out there doing the things that the world is doing. They are cutting their days short. And they some may say, you have nothing to base that on. We have the Word of God that tells us that. Every word that is written will stand. Because people say, but man wrote that book. Men put the words down as the Holy Spirit gave them the instructions of what to write. It's not their words, it's God's word. And God's word is true, whether we want to say amen or not. Some people used to say, God said it, I believe it, and that makes it so. God said, I said it, and that makes it so. Whether we believe it or not, if God said it, it's true. And God has never lied. He's never lied. In fact, it's impossible for God to lie. That is an attribute of the devil himself. God has none of that in his life. He's always been up front and told his people the way that it was, the way that they ought to live, and the way that they ought to prepare to die. But people say, I don't believe God. And people really don't say it like that. What they say is, I don't believe what that preacher is preaching. If the preacher is preaching from the Word of God, you better believe it. Whether you like it or not, because it's God's word. How many of you have ever heard a message that you really didn't care for? Because it got to where you lived at. See, some of you said amen before I finished my question. But we all would have to say it's true. When the word of God comes to our house and we're found guilty, we don't like to be rebuked or to be reproved. But yet we ought to rejoice in it. I look at when I was growing up and mom and dad would set us straight. It did a lot of good. Because had they not set us straight, no telling where us boys and girls would have ended up at. God is the same way. God wants us to have a good life. But in order to have a good life, we've got to live according to his word. Everything we need in life is in this book. How to live as a husband and wife, it's in the book. How to raise your children, it's in the book. How to deal with hard times and good times, it's in the book. And how to prepare for death is in the book. God has spoken it. I am the Lord. He said in some scriptures, and I have spoken it. And when God speaks, folks, can you go back to when Moses was up on the mountain and God was speaking to him on the mountain and the children of Israel were at the base of that mountain and they saw the lightning and they heard the thundering when God spoke and they were scared. I never was scared of the word of God until it spoke to me. That's when I got scared. And they had a reason to be scared because while Moses was up there and speaking with God, they was taking their earrings and their necklaces and their rings and melting them down and making an idol. How many of us know tonight if God says, thou shalt not, you better not. Amen. And I'll go even further on a Sunday night. How many of us that God said, thou shalt not, and we did, and we paid the price for it? Because we went against God's word. The mountains, this earth will melt with fervent heat one day. But God's word will stand when the world is on fire. His word will stand. And church, not just for the world, but scripture tells us God's word will either stand for you or it will stand against you. I'm glad, you know, and let me give you a scripture now, move on. The Bible tells us that some men's sins go on before them and some follow after them. I'm thankful my sins have already gone on and been forgiven, and I don't have to worry about what's following me. Amen. I know we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you know what showed us that we sin? The Word of God. How would you know you'd sin had you not known God's Word? And I'll go even further. How many of us knew it was wrong even before we got saved? You know why? Because we was taught it in the home. And some of you even was taught it in the schoolhouse. And then people wanted to cry about where America is at today. Let me tell you why. Because moms and dads have taken the book out of their homes. They taught the teaching of the children right from wrong in the household. It's not the government, nor the schoolhouse, nor the church house's responsibility to teach people values and teach them some common sense about right and wrong. It's mom and dad's place. But we look at so many today and they say, it's God's fault. I've heard them say, Brother Ray, God made me this way. God has never made anything that did not align with His Word. What did it say He made in the garden? He made them male and female. Is there anything else He made there? No. And people say, but God made me this way. No, Satan made you that way. I wish the church would stand stronger against Satan's word and stand stronger for God's word. We need to stand against Satan and what he's doing. But yet, we'll believe a lie and let the truth slip between our fingers. How many of you tonight used to believe something until you read it in God's word that you ought not believe it? There are things that people grow up on. Mom and dad, granny and grandpa taught us this, so it must be true. Not everything you've been taught is true. But when God teaches it to you, you'll know it's true. People say, well, the pastor or the preacher taught us that. You better be careful. Larry Jones was here. He'd get ready to shout in a minute. You better be careful what the preacher and pastor is teaching. You say, well, Roger, you're up there. We got to be careful. If I teach anything that don't align with this book, the Bible says to mark me, even though it might be an angel, to mark them and stay away from them. Is that not scripture? Stay away from them if they teach you anything other than this book. But yet this book won't get a large crowd, because people don't want to hear that they're wrong. How many of you like to be told that you're wrong? In fact, years ago, Becky, remember this, it just came to my memory. I used to not even be able to say I was wrong. Somebody say I was there once too. Come on. Help out the pastor. I would say I was wrong. Becky remembers I used to do that because I didn't think I was wrong. Ray too. Thank you. You know, we think we're right, but then we find out the truth. We just hate to admit that we was wrong. But whether we admit it or not, we know God's word is the truth. And everything else that we allow to come into our minds and our hearts is wrong. And what we allow to come in our hearts and our minds, each and every day, if we're not careful, it will push aside the word of God. And men would rather believe a lie than they had the truth. That's where we're at today, is it not, church? But yet, how many of us like to be lied to? Not one said, I'd like to be lied to. Two things I can't hardly deal with. Lies and losing something. How many of you ever lost something? And it drives me crazy until I find it. And some of them, like my mind, I still haven't found. Amen? I know y'all are saying amen to yourselves as well, right? But the Bible says that God's word will stand forever. That's not just in our lifetime. That's not just for the time of the prophets. It's not just for the time of for God's people during the time that he sent his son upon his earth and going through the apostles. But when he says it will stand forever, he's talking about not just in our lifetime, but his word will stand for eternity. And you say, are you going to take your Bible to heaven so you'll know what the word says? No. When we get there, the word will be there. He is the word. And we beheld him. We've held this book. And I said a few Sundays ago, you'll remember, how many of you love your Bible? Can I say, look at it. I noticed this week that I've got pages about ready to fall out. But I wouldn't take nothing for this Bible. Because this is mine. And I've got all my markings and writings and highlights. I don't know if y'all can see it or not, but let me turn it upside down. The book is about to fall apart, but can you see my coloring? This is not a coloring book, but that's my way of identifying those scriptures that are precious to my heart and that I read and study. And I said this over and over through the years. I've never been one to be able to start at Genesis and read through to Revelations. I've done it. But folks, let me tell you, I find myself, I start, and then something comes on my mind, and I turn over, and next thing you know, I'm far away from where I started. And you say, can't you keep focused long enough to read the Bible? I believe I'm getting what God wants me to have when I follow him. His word is true. How many of you know his word is true? Amen. How many of us know that even though sometimes it hurts, we know it is God's word. And it's good for us. It's good for us. Growing up, folks, we weren't like the kids today, Brother Jeff. We had to eat whatever mom and dad put on the table. You say, what has that got to do with your message? Tonight, whatever God puts on the table is what we ought to eat from. Some kids are like Gavin. He'll put it in his mouth and he'll chew on it for a few minutes and he'll say, don't like it. And he wants to get rid of it. Just keep chewing. You know what you'll do? You'll develop an appetite for those things that you don't like, because they hit too close to home. And you say, they hit too close to home, what can I do about it? We have an altar. Usually when they hit close to home, that's when what it means is that we need to move up, or God will move us out. I've heard preachers and others say it like this through the years. Lord, when you're done with me, just take me on home to be with you. And if we ever get to the place, Lord, where we don't bring you glory, just take us on. Because I'd rather not be a stumbling block to somebody else along this journey. You know why a lot of people don't believe the Word of God? Because what they have read hasn't proven true. You say, what have they read? People read our lives every day. Did you know? You're the only Bible some people ever read. I've heard people say in times past, if that person's going to heaven, I'm going to heaven. The way they live, I'm just as good as they are. And first of all, you should never base your life compared to somebody else's unless you're going to compare it to Christ Himself. And don't let any, I mean no one, be a stumbling block in your Christian life. Because they may have a form of godliness and denying the power thereof. God's word is true, is it not? Always has been, always will be. You and I in this world changes, but God never changes. Amen? I go back to our sign. I'm looking straight at her. And you know, my eyesight's not that good. Far away, if I didn't know you, I can see your form, and sometimes I can see your expression. But you know, my heart sees much better than my eyes. My heart, where God talks. Because I've had to learn. How many of you have had to learn some hard lessons along life's journey? We knew better. But God had to bring us down so He could build us up. And if you read this, I love this fourth verse. He said, God will come by because of the one that's crying in the wilderness. In the fourth verse, it says, every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. When we live by God's word, that's what He'll do for us. That mountain in front of us that looks so high, He can bring it down. And that valley that looks so low, He can bring it up. That crooked road that's in front of us, God can make it straight. Have you ever been going somewhere and talking with God, and next thing you know, you're there, and you didn't know how you got there? I scare Becky to death sometimes. And then when I think I'm driving good, she says I'm still driving bad. But I believe her sometimes. Because sometimes, Brother Wayne, I don't know how I got to where I was at. And sometimes I was dreading the road. And it seemed like God made it go so smooth. Has He done that for anybody else? He made it so smooth. Our fear that was there, God just brought peace in the midst of our trouble. His word is true. And you know what He says in my closing? He said, I will never leave you. Amen. That ought to make a Baptist want to shout on Sunday night. I will never leave you nor forsake you, but be with you always, even to the end of this world. I love y'all. Y'all's my friends. And I thank you for being my friend. I do. Because this sums it up. This is pretty much the friends I've got. You say you ought to change so you get more people in your life. Let me tell you, if I have to change, they're not worth it. Amen. I'll keep the ones I got because they know the Word of God is true. And they're true. If you know somebody that's truly been saved, they're the same each and every day. Right? We ought not waver. We ought to be the same. Like God gave us the example and told us in His Word. Sometimes I don't feel good. Sometimes Anybody else ever have a bad day? You know what they came out with in the 70s is that our mood changes. And you know, how many of y'all remember, they used to have those mood rings that you could wear to figure out what kind of mood you was in. What a joke. Folks, sometimes our mood can change just like that. It can. And sometimes I talk to myself and I say, Roger, what is wrong with you? Just a minute ago you was fine, and you let the devil come in and stir you up. See, y'all don't see that side. How many of y'all got another side that I don't see in you? Oh, some of you raised your hands. But we know when we're in that. And you know, it embarrasses me that I allow myself to get that worked up. Because I know God is not pleased with what we're doing. And the final verse, and then I'll close. We're just like often the Pharisees. We will swallow a camel and strain on a gnat. Are we not? If it's one of ours, we'll swallow the camel. If it's somebody else's, we'll gag on a gnat. That's not what God said to do. In fact, God said it like this. How many times are we supposed to forgive our brother? 7 times 7? 7 times 70. A month? A year? No. A day. You do most Baptists wrong one time, and that'll be 70 years getting over it. But yet we want to hang on to God's word. If we're going to hang on to it, we better live by it. Amen? Tonight we're going to have an altar of prayer because I believe we all need more of God. Word in our life. Lord, help me with those things that I allow to come in and get a hold of me and shake me up. You know, the devil wants to shake you up. He does. He wants to get you all rattled, get your blood pressure up, get that heart murmur flipping in there, get your digestive tract all in an uproar. That's what the devil wants to do. But Jesus said, I come that you might have peace. And the only way we have peace is by his word. His word speaks peace to my soul. Amen? Let's pray tonight, because we need to know that God is real. And his word is real. And no matter what the world says. Sometimes we all get beat up. The devil beats us up. You got to see what they're doing across town. Everything y'all stand against, they're standing for. I remember several years ago, I sat here at the church in the service. Becky and I passed this church, and it's just, I mean, they've had to buy more land and everything to expand the parking lot. They built a new church. And many years ago, I said to Becky, I said, wonder what they got that we ain't got. And then Sister Carlene caught me after church, and she said, you ought not say it that way. You ought to say, what have we got that they ain't got? I've got the word. This word is life. And if we want more life, we need more of the word. God bless you. Let's pray. Everybody that would gather with us around this altar, praying that God would just allow us to have more of his word in our life each and every day. We ought to be a powerhouse for God. When people talk to us, they ought to know that there's a difference in our life than what they've got. And they ought to want what they see in us. Because I'll share this, and while they're coming, then I will close. This girl at work that always gives me a woman that always wants to give me a hard way to go. She's the one who told me about her ties. She lost her ties at the boat, so now she couldn't give them to the church. Y'all remember that story? And I told her if she can live with it, God can live without it. She come in the hallway the other night or the other day, and she was singing, "This Little Light of Mine." And I just looked at her. Because what she was doing, she was trying to egg it on. And I just looked at her and went about my business. Because you see, the Bible says, don't give place for the devil. When he comes against you, just walk away from him. Amen. You say, are you calling her the devil? She's one of the devils. Because she's been taught, she knows enough that she's been taught. But folks, being taught and knowing and experiencing God is two different things. Amen. Let's pray.